Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. We have a lot to discuss this week as I adjust my screen. The NBA lottery happened last night, and if you didn't pay attention, look up the results and come back because we got a lot to discuss, plus the PGA Championship this weekend and a whole lot more starts now. Welcome back. How we doing, man?
Good, man. Good. It's been a little 2-week hiatus here, but you know, we got a lot to talk about. We got NBA playoffs.
Sure do.
I know you've been into the NBA playoffs, and you know, the viewers or listeners would know that. I feel like that you've been watching, but I've actually been watching a little bit too. And now getting back into the NBA a little bit, been interesting. It's been chaotic, to say the least.
Yeah, chaotic is a great way to express how this playoff has gone so far. A lot of shocking stuff, and we'll get to the Tatum injury and all that stuff, but like that, the Pacers and all this stuff, it's crazy. But let's start with the latest craziness from the NBA. Last night, the NBA draft lottery happened, Davis. And man, oh man, was it chaotic and insane and surprising. A lot to get to, but if you're looking on the YouTube, you'd see, oh my God, the Mavericks won the lottery. And they did. They sure did win the lottery, Davis. As Sixers fans, we were just, you know, watching the lottery, excited, making sure that the Sixers name wasn't going to be announced outside of the top six, because then we would lose that pick. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we paid attention much at all to the Mavericks sneaking into the top four fairly early. And they actually won the lottery. And if you know anything about how they select the lottery, they start from number one. And I was listening to a podcast today, and they were talking about how when the Mavericks were selected, usually it's like, you know, it's done very professionally. Everyone is quiet, but there was snickering and laughing erupting from the crowd of, you know, scouts and whoever was representing. Even the league was shocked. And I was listening to that same podcast, and they were saying that usually people don't watch the TV show, like the draft lottery TV show, because they know the results already. Why would they? But this year they were glued to the TV to see how people would react. And when they announced it on TV, that was one of the more shocking moments. Our Sixers, though, got the third pick, so we should be excited about that. But I have really not thought about the Sixers much since this lottery occurred. What are your thoughts? Because insane doesn't even justify it.
Yeah, I agree. I think I mean, it sounds obvious, but I do think there's a lot of detail to it that I think the top two picks are going to be very, very interesting this year. Yeah, with the Mavericks being
two is nuts.
With the Mavericks being one, saying today that they will not be entertaining any trades and Cooper Flagg will be a Dallas Maverick. That is all said and done. We can talk about it for hours. For anybody who may not know, Luka Doncic, one of the greatest NBA players alive right now, got traded from Dallas to the Lakers earlier this season. So hopefully, I mean, for the Mavericks' sake, hopefully they kind of redeem themselves with this. For the Spurs, I think this is where we can get to a lot of more of a deeper conversation, whether they're going to be picking this at two or not, whether they're going to be trading for Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, they have the ability now to really entice Milwaukee to pull Giannis away from Milwaukee into a income tax-free state, something that Giannis really wants. And he stated a few days ago before the lottery happened, and San Antonio can offer that now. Very interesting that this has the possibility of happening with another NBA future Hall of Famer being moved.
So yeah, that part alone is crazy. And I just wanted to bring up a little NBA history. So in 2011, Chris Paul was traded to the Lakers, but that trade was vetoed by the interim owner of the Hornets Pelicans at the time, David Stern, the commissioner. Oh my God, that's so weird. He deemed it not something good for basketball along those lines. Yep. And then the next year, they were awarded the number one pick, which happened to be Anthony Davis. Crazy, right? 7 years later.
That we could talk about that incident alone for an entire podcast if we wanted to.
Crazy, yes. And then 7 years later, Anthony Davis is traded to the Lakers. That year, the Pelicans are gifted Zion for trading away Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. 6 years later, Luka's traded to the Lakers. He, you know, they're called the worst trade of all time. Everybody in the Mavericks, you know, the fans gave up on the Mavericks, but they're gifted the number one pick and Cooper Flagg. This is straight devil magic at its finest, Davis. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is insane. But yeah, let's talk about the Spurs getting number two is crazy. Like, and then if we want to talk about the Sixers, I was watching, and apparently when the Mavericks and Spurs jumped the Sixers going, you know, into the top four, or before the Sixers were even announced, it was slim to none that the Sixers would even keep their pick. The ideal scenario for the Thunder was watching two teams like the Spurs and Mavericks jump the Sixers. And somehow the Sixers got the third pick.
Correct.
Craziness, craziness, craziness erupted last night. And then, Davis, like, we could talk about this all day, but I forgot that in 2020, the NBA flattened its lottery odds. Mm-hmm. And they're the worst record having a 25% chance, which I remember from the process days. I thought that was the case, but no, they changed it so that the three teams with the worst record shared the same odds as the number one pick, 14% roughly. And man, did the Jazz, the Hornets, the Wizards, Pelicans get screwed. It is, it's crazy. And if you weren't paying attention to the NBA the last couple of years, because the lotteries have been weird, you know, Wemby going to the Spurs, everyone kind of wrote that off as the Spurs being the Spurs. But the Hawks came out of nowhere and won the lottery last year. Like, it's getting chaotic in this lottery to the point that, like, does the NBA step in? Because at the same time, we're all hating this, but this is creating huge buzz for the NBA. This is going to get revenue shares up. This is going to get TV deals up. Like, Cooper Flagg and the Mavericks facing the Lakers next year, and Luka Doncic is probably one of the hottest games already.
This is a move that the NBA made in 2020 with the full intention, and it worked out in the NBA's favor monetarily.
League, yes.
But it is not helping teams like the Hornets and the Jazz and the Wizards, who tanked to have a better chance to get the number one pick.
The Jazz were fined for sitting Lauri Markkanen too many times, and they have the fifth pick.
I know. It is almost a shame, because then those teams get stuck in purgatory for so long, and teams like the Mavericks and the Spurs and the Sixers all have a chance to contend next year. And, you know, that's a big word, contending.
Yes.
You know. Trust me, the NBA draft lottery just happened. We still have free agency. We still have the draft. We still have trades to come. But I still will use that word contend loosely, because all three of these teams have that possibility. The Hornets, the Jazz, and the Pelicans, or the Wizards, you can even throw the Pelicans in there. All teams that dropped out of the top four now are sitting there with, oh, well, what's going to happen now? Like, now we're not, you know, not that you're not going to get a generational talent, but you just have a worse pick of the litter, unfortunately. Even though you went this whole year tanking, I just tried to find the results from the last few lottery winners ever since this rule was inducted. Ethan, I don't think that I'm almost positive that the worst team in the NBA each given year, the team who has the best odds to get the number one pick, has never gotten the number one pick with this new system since 2020. That needs to change. That needs to change, in my opinion.
It is, and like, everyone's gonna make the jokes that it's rigged, and I think LeBron did that McAfee interview, and he kind of insinuated that the NBA was rigged. Like, I think he made a joke, like, "Come on, like Cleveland getting me in 2003, like, come on, like, come on." And he's right. Like, but this is up there with that one. It's up there with the Ewing one. It's up there with Kyrie to Cleveland the year before LeBron goes back. Like, it's fishy, but at the same time, once explained that they laid out the odds this way, it makes sense. It really does make sense. And the fact that it's the Mavericks, though, is crazy. Because even though people would be complaining right now if it was the Spurs, the Mavericks was still the comedy pick. We could have been sitting here yesterday and been like, How funny would it be if the map, and then it's like, wait, they did though.
Yep.
They did. And I mean, I hate to say it, but the Mavericks are going to be good. They're going to be really good. But, you know, wow. I'm still shocked, Davis. And then let's get to the Sixers part a little bit. Are you excited to just get the juice flowing a little bit? I mean, they're going to be probably not the best next year, I would assume, but.
It does get the juices flowing just because there was basically like a 50% chance that we weren't going to have a pick in the first round this year. That would have been extremely disappointing. So getting the third
pick, to say the least,
getting the third pick, and you know, my Sixers fandom has gone up and down so much the last few years that I keep getting more excited at the idea of getting new rookie talent, young talent. Like getting Jared McCain last year was amazing. Getting Tyrese Maxey, like, those are the moves that bring back my Sixers fandom until like game 30 or 40 hits where I realize, oh, we're paying, you know, and this is for the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
We're overpaying a forward that sucks, Tobias Harris and Paul George. And Joel Embiid, unfortunately, just can't stay healthy. Like we kind of had an open forum discussion with our buddies last night about how, you know, sometimes maybe having that elite center could be a problem only because like genetically, like it's impossible to live as a human being at 7 feet tall, let alone be a professional athlete. Like it's a shame.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the next slide because I think this transitions pretty well into a discussion of, hey, last night Jason Tatum tore his Achilles, and it sucks. It's really upsetting. Even as Sixers fans, we can admit that that's terrible for Jason Tatum because he's probably going to miss most of next year, if not the entire season. And he's a guy in his prime who will probably be okay because of how young he is. But we've been noticing a lot of these injuries. Kyrie just tore his ACL. Mm-hmm. So did Dame. Like, it's happening in the playoffs more. We could talk about Embiid all day. Like, he's got his list of injuries, but like, what about shortening the season? Do you think that moving the games from the total amount of games from 82 to maybe 70-ish?
Do you want me to give you my answer or the real answer? My answer is 100%. I want to see the best players on the court like as much as possible. So in that, it's counterintuitive, but
it makes every game matter more.
Correct. I think decreasing the amount of games actually helps that because the wear and tear on these guys' bodies on playing back-to-backs or playing every other night at such a competitive and high level, especially in the playoffs where they're playing, but you know, these big-time names are playing 40 to 44 minutes.
Yeah.
They need rest. Now, the real answer is that is a horrible question because why would the NBA give up games and revenue? You know what I mean? Like, what are all these leagues doing right now? They're expanding. They're adding games. Yeah. They just added the play-in tournament. College football.
That's the thing, though, is you want to make this tournament matter, lessen the overall amount of regular season games, and then when you, like you said, expand. When you actually expand a league and go into expansion, which they're going to do with Seattle and Vegas soon, you know, charge a tax. Make sure that when you're doing these TV deals, you're adding money for, hey, a Wednesday night NBA game matters 10 times more because it's the only game of the week. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure,
they can charge more bang for their buck, but I agree. Owners aren't going to
all the NBA and
or want to take less money.
All the NBA and these multi-billion, maybe even trillion-dollar companies see is green. And when they're seeing green, it's putting these guys out on the court more. Like the NFL's doing it. It's a huge discussion right now. The NFL might add another week in the next few years and possibly add a bye. Like these guys need breaks, but you know, they're generating such an enormous and tremendous amount of revenue that it almost blinds.
The Warriors are valued at $9 billion. They should be writing Steph a check for half of that. But like,
correct.
So yeah, agreed. But like, on the other side, you know, this all sucks, but you know, the Celtics, shocking playoffs for them, seriously. Like they were probably the favorites to, you know, go back and at least win the East and definitely have a really good chance at repeating, being the first to snap this unrepeatable streak for a couple of years. And you know, it's harder to do this in sports, but NBA is probably an easier sport to repeat in. But, you know, the Celtics' dreams were probably extinguished last night as they already lost the game before Tatum even got hurt. It was like 2.5, 3 minutes left, and it was a 7 to 8 point deficit.
Yeah.
It does suck. I do feel for him, especially being this young and all that stuff. But it's coming at a weird time for the Celtics, Davis. I was listening to a couple things today, and they had already come to terms with this being a giant summer for them financially. They were going to have to make moves. But next year possibly being an entire gap year, like,
yep.
This just feels like vibes of the Warriors when, you know, mm-hmm. KD and Klay got hurt, and then Curry got hurt, and then KD left, and
yep.
They were tanked basically for the year. But the Celtics can't do that. They're like a second apron team.
Right. They got the number two pick actually that year and drafted James Wiseman with it. They could have drafted
Kuminga, though.
Crazy. Yes. Yes. To what you were saying with the playoffs and maybe moving a little bit more towards what's actually going on in the playoffs right now, completely agree that, I mean, that the Celtics have been imploding due to their play style. They're a three. They live or die by the three. And trust me, Ethan knows
this. You saw that games 1 and 2.
And a lot of people know this. I somewhat love that in college basketball, especially
when you're talking about
March Madness, because it shows teams can get hot. But look, the Celtics were hot for 82 games this year, and they've fallen off a cliff this round. Yeah. I mean, they missed 43 pointers in game one and blew a 20 point lead. You know, the Celtics, you know, everybody knows this if they've been watching or following these games. Celtics,
you're diehard. Yeah.
The Celtics blew a 20 point game in game one and game two. They blew a 10 point lead last night. When you say they blew a 10 point lead, I haven't done the math on this. I think they may have blown a 10 point lead like 3 times in that game. They were up by 10. The Knicks would go on an 11-0 run, and then the Celtics would like chip their way back to a 10-point lead. Like, it wasn't like the Celtics were up by 10 early and it was a fight. No, the Celtics were up by 10 with like 10 minutes left in the game.
They were up 14 at the half, and like every time we were watching the game at the restaurant we were all hanging out at last night, it was like, oh, the Knicks go down like 13. It's like, okay, I look down. Look back up. It's like a 2-point game, and it says Knicks 8-0 run. I saw that happen like 3 times. So correct. I think you're definitely right. Yeah,
that was insane.
Yeah, and credit to Jalen Brunson, the dude's hitting another level. He is obviously the most clutch player in the league, but is he the best ISO scorer in the league right now? Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
and like this dude's putting the entire team on his back. Like he's just had game after game where he just makes big shots. He's doing it with the best defenders in the league, and like, being a Villanova fan who's watched this, like, I knew this was in him somewhere, but like doing it like in Derek White and Jaylen Brown's face, like, it's crazy. Yep. Having 39 and a 12 in a game like that at the Garden, like, he is so close to like immortality. It's crazy what he's truly accomplishing. And, you know, they're still far away from their goal, which makes it more fun too, because there's a lot of room for disappointment. And let's move on. Like, the Cavaliers, you want to talk about disappointment? Like the Celtics lost it. Their fire got extinguished. The Cavs fell apart by the seams. They had nothing this series. The Pacers have dominated them from the start. They had one game, I think it was game 3. Donovan Mitchell played pretty well and they won easily. But like, Donovan Mitchell got hurt in the second or third quarter of the last game, and they had nothing. They had absolutely nothing. I will mention that Garland, Mobley, and DeAndre Hunter have all been hurt as well. But truly a nightmare scenario from the Cavs. But to our chagrin, we have a little money in the Pacers, so we're excited. But what a turn of events. This East is looking very unbalanced, especially with the potential Giannis trade, which you show in the top right. Like, this Eastern Conference is going to be super weak next year.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a higher probability of that. And I think that what encapsulates that is the Achilles tear for Jason Tatum, because now looking to next year, it's like, you know, and I'm taking things in perspective where we're at right now with the Pacers up 3-1, like, who's going to be the dog next year? Is it going to be the Cavs in the East? Like, I don't trust them. Is it going to be the Knicks? Like, they haven't shown any.
Are the Knicks the favorites?
They haven't shown any regular season prowess over the last 2 or 3 years, even though they've shown playoff will.
For sure.
I don't know. I really don't. And I think that going with that Cavs-Pacers game is a perfect, you know, situation for a person like myself who I'm not dialed into the NBA any as much as I once was, but watching this series has been bringing me back because I love to see the chaos. Like, no, like, I think people could have expected, like, okay, maybe the Knicks could have taken a game or two against Boston. Like, the Knicks have shown that they've been really good. You know,
the Knicks in five?
The Pacers, though. Pacers in five? No one was talking about that. So, you know, and this is where these randos really come to shine. Like Aaron Nesmith? He's been been on fire for Indiana this whole playoff series. So we'll see. And look, that's where the Cavs, you know, I feel for the Celtics and what Jason Tatum's going through. And I would love to see the Knicks be a fully healthy Celtics team. But look, the Pacers, they have a chance to do that. And I know they were up 2-0 with Garland and Mobley and Hunter being hurt, but the Pacers have a chance to do something that the Knicks cannot do anymore. And that's actually beat the healthiest possible Cavaliers team or the healthiest possible team in front of you to go back to the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's not forget the Pacers were in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics. So there's no backlash here. And again, we put some dough on the Pacers, which we'll talk about next, but I'm loving that more and more. And, you know, you called me this weekend and it was a 5-minute conversation. It was like, are we doing this? And it was like, absolutely, we're doing this.
Yep.
The Cavaliers have shown nothing this entire series. The Pacers have been hot and they've been dominating every side of the ball. So the Eastern Conference has been wild. And then why don't you start with the Western Conference? Because honestly, it could be crazier.
Yeah, seriously, this Western Conference is nuts. Because before we get to the Thunder Nuggets, like the Timberwolves, Warriors, this series is sad. I just want to say it is a little sad. Curry got hurt in game two, I think.
Game two.
And it just hasn't been the same. Most of these games have been pretty close, honestly, most of the time. And then the Timberwolves just pull away at the end. Last night, I think they spanked him pretty good. I think Anthony Edwards had 30 points. Plus, that kid is coming alive at the best time. I would have loved to see, you know, a full Timberwolves series where Curry's involved and, you know, Draymond's animated and he gets into an Ant or something like that. I think we missed out on it because of Curry and no competitiveness, especially Jimmy Butler in the Timberwolves history too. But, you know, it sucks. I hope Anthony Edwards gets to a final soon. And if it's this year, great. But if he's going to do that, he's going to have to go through one of these two teams most likely, the Thunder or the Nuggets. And Davis, we have that bet. We'll get to that in a second. But that aside, this series has been absolutely amazing. It is tied 2-2. Every game's been a battle, except for the second game, I think, when the Thunder kicked the shit out of them by like 30 or 40.
They tied a first half playoff record with most points. I don't know what it was off the top of my head.
It was like crazy.
84 or 81 or something.
Yeah. Yeah, but the Thunder and the Nuggets have been battling it out in the other three games. They've been neck and neck, and I didn't watch the last game because of Mother's Day, but I've watched most of this series, and my God, Aaron Gordon hitting another gear, a playoff legend already, two buzzer beaters in this playoffs, the dunk in the Clippers series, and then that triple in the corner to beat the Thunder in game one, I believe, or game three, both.
Maybe both.
I think it was both. I
mean, sounds crazy, but yeah, possibly.
Yeah. And, you know, Jokic hasn't really been on, which has been fun because it means everyone else has had to step up. And SGA played pretty well in the last game, but this has been just a battle of the lineups, a battle of guys, battle of dudes who just want to win. Like Aaron Gordon said, he wanted to win for Russ. Like, I think there's a lot of that energy going on. And then the Thunder are just young and inexperienced, but they're still good as hell. They have no business probably being in the series, but their star power and their depth is just pulling them in directions that it's just like they're just getting 5 or 7 points from random guys. And their coach isn't afraid to dig into their bench at this point in the playoffs. Most of these guys and most of these teams have 6-7 man rotations tops. The Thunder are running like 8 or 9. Like they are
maybe more, honestly.
Emptying the bench. Yeah, and maybe more. So how are you feeling about the Thunder?
I'll tell you, and we can move on to our next slide because it brings up our personal bet as well as what I talked about on our last podcast, which was like 2 weeks ago at this point. I'm surprised, actually, about what's going on with that series. The Nuggets, you know, and if you go back and listen to the last podcast, the Thunder had already beat the Grizzlies, and I think the Clippers Nuggets series was actually 2-2. And we both agreed that series was going seven games no matter what. And it did. So that was one thing we were both correct about. My point being 2 weeks ago was, hey, if this series goes seven, the Thunder are going to be well rested for the Nuggets. You know what I mean? They're going to be well rested. They're going to be dialed in. They're going to know what to do. That game one, Thunder Nuggets. I think the Nuggets came out purely off of adrenaline, and the Thunder showed that they had been sitting on the couch for the last 9 days watching NBA basketball just like I had and not doing too much more. So,
and the Nuggets were fully dialed.
Yes. I have been utterly impressed with what the Nuggets have been doing. Yeah. But I'll still tell you right now, I believe in the Oklahoma City Thunder. I believe that they will win tonight. They're 11-point favorites. Not that, you know, spreads or monies, you know, this betting stuff means everything. But I think it just kind of goes to show you that there is a lot of respect on the Thunder side, and that the Nuggets tired. The Nuggets have been playing basically every other night now for what, 3.5 weeks? Like, that's the
I completely agree. And like, this is basically me saying this because we have this, but I'm okay with the Nuggets just dumping all of their energy into this series.
Well, I think that's what they're going to do anyway. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you need to get, even though you need to, you know, the ultimate goal is to win the I almost said national championship, the NBA title, Larry O'Brien Trophy, the
world championship.
This series is Goliath. And I'm not saying that the Nuggets are David, because they're not. The Nuggets have won an NBA title 2 years ago. Like, they're not some,
it's like two Davids or two Goliaths.
But the Thunder feel like Goliath this year. And if you get past them, anything can happen. So I wouldn't be shocked if they spend out all of their energy and they play Jokic 46 minutes the next 2 days or next two games. Like, it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. I think he's been gassed, and there are people saying he's injured. I think he's just gassed. He's not shot well at all since game one when he had 40-20-6, which is absolutely disgusting. Yeah. But I really do believe in the Nuggets, and, you know, I will pay my bet if this goes wrong. But I think I was correct. I think my take and why I did this was correct, in that the Thunder don't have a second option. The Jalen Williams played really well in game three, I think, when he had 30-plus points. But game four, I watched the highlights back, and it looks like he was a liability out there. Just could not score. He was getting killed defensively. And Chet is a great help defender, I guess. Like, he's shot the ball well, but my whole argument as to why I did this was that SGA is the first, and he's the second option. He's so good that he makes up for other people's mistakes, and so far he kind of has. Although I didn't account for, like, Lu Dort and Caruso being defensive studs, and, you know, Aaron Wiggins hitting open shots every single time, and, you know, Hartenstein and Chet, to his credit, annoying the crap out of Jokic. Like, they've done a really good job defensively, but I don't know. I'm feeling
The bet's not over, right?
No, obviously.
But it's funny. It's really funny because of the conversation we had 3 months ago, and how I would put it that we were both somewhat correct, and we didn't even know who the Thunder would be playing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we had in our minds that the Thunder would play a playoff experienced team, and they got the most playoff experienced team over the last few years. And we're both kind of correct. And, like, the Thunder inexperience is really showing. That was to your point. To my point, the biggest part of my thing is, you don't be a 68 win team by accident, and the depth of the Thunder is what's going to get them across the finish line. And those are 100%. Things that are going in their favor, but the inexperience is really, really showing as well.
Yes. And for the record, I think the Thunder, this is the thing they need. This is the kind of playoff series they need. Even if they win, even if they lose, this is the kind of, you know, trials and tribulations and all this stuff they have to go through, especially a guy like SGA. And the Thunder have an infinite timeline still, too. Like, they have all these picks. They could cash them in right now for Giannis, possibly. Giannis. Yeah. So, I don't know. Do you want to do that? Do you want to keep, you know, drafting these guys and developing them? But you can't sign them all. So, why not go all in? So,
I think they have something like 22 picks over the next 6 years.
And
unfortunately, the NBA roster does not carry 34 guys. So, they're going to have to pick and choose at some point.
Yes. But just looking at our hot takes, like, We were stupid wrong. You said the Thunder were not going to lose a game until the NBA Finals. So far, they've only lost two, but, you know, wrong. And then I said that the Cavs wouldn't lose until the Eastern Conference Finals, and they are about to be eliminated in the second round.
Sure hope so.
I think Golden State was going to be Houston in five, and then I said in small print maybe six, but that went seven, and Curry almost blew a 3-1 lead again. You know, not the best takes.
Maybe
you
don't listen to us. Like, because why are you still here?
Log off right now, please. Because if you bet the Lakers to win the NBA Finals when we said that, I think they lost the day after to get eliminated. So, I apologize. I really apologize. not our best, but we're back with another one. We have another bet, and I'm feeling pretty good about this one. And we have the Pacers to win the East plus 410. We were discussing it most of Thursday and Friday, I believe. And Friday, I think, honestly, mere minutes before game four started, or game three started, when they got killed, actually. Mobley, Garland, and Hunter were coming back. And I was like, Davis, let's do this. And we got a good number. So I felt good about it. You know, they got killed in game three right after we bet it. But game four on, what was it? Sunday. They kicked the dog shit out of the Cavs. They were up 50 points at halftime or something like that. And you know, it's not over yet, Davis. It's not over yet. They're 3-1,
but now we're one game away.
One game away. I could see the Cavs maybe winning another one, making it interesting, but the Pacers have been in control. Halliburton's been, you know, really good. Really, really good. People making a big deal out of him being voted as like overrated. The most overrated player in the NBA, but I was listening to a podcast, and like the way you break it down, it's actually not that crazy. It was only like 90 players who voted, and then the people who actually voted for Halliburton, it was like only 12 and a half people, so like round up to 13. And someone's point was like, that could have been the entire like Celtics team. That could have been the entire Knicks or Pistons.
it probably was the entire Knicks team, honestly. Exactly.
So like, it is what it is, but you know, he's not overrated because, you know, he's a great player. He's a great facilitator. He scored when they needed him to make big buckets. But, man, Siakam, Turner, Nembhard, I mean, they're really, really underrated. Nesmith, like you said, these guys are dogs. And, like, people were hating on a potential, you know, Knicks-Pacers Eastern Conference Finals. But you guys have clearly not watched that 30 for 30. The Reggie Miller choking with the Spike lead stuff like that. That's great. I think that Pacers in New York could be, you know, really, really fun. And honestly, the Pacers, good for them. They should be one of the top teams in the East, and they should be respected as much.
I agree. Completely agree.
Yeah, so hopefully they take care of business. But Davis, let's get to some baseball.
Yeah, Ethan, I wanted to change up the baseball news today a little bit. And in reality, just ask you three questions instead of going, because, you know, we're not that we're in the dog days of baseball. We're only in the middle of May.
We're not even there yet.
The dog days are coming. But
yes,
I just kind of want to switch this up and maybe just instead of give you some standings or what happened last week, because we can go about that. We can talk about anything. You know, baseball happens every night. There's a lot of news happening every day. So three questions for you, Ethan. Aaron Judge right now, I mean, he's hitting .414 at the plate. His on-base percentage is .500. He is getting on base half the time he steps up to the plate. And his slugging percentage is .783, which means almost every time he steps up to the plate, he is averaging a base, a single base. He's getting on first base.
So he's either getting a walk or a single.
Yes, correct. Ethan, is Aaron Judge the best hitter of our generation? Because I had a talk about this with some other guys over the weekend.
And I got Trout and Ohtani.
I don't know. That's where some of the questions I got back were like, what about Barry Bonds? And I was like, I don't know if that's our generation. I think the generation starts immediately after him. But like the guys I thought of immediately were Albert Pujols, A-Rod. Mike Trout, and you can add Shohei, but I was trying to go more, I was trying to leave him off because
A-Rod, right?
A-Rod, yes, he would definitely be – he would actually probably be both generations.
Yeah.
Like, is Aaron Judge already almost solidifying himself as the greatest hitter in this generation?
He could be. He could be. But the fact that he's up there and we're being considered, I think that just shows that we're not even appreciating Aaron Judge enough, because I think that he gets the spotlight, but he doesn't get the adulation that comes with it. I think people hate the Yankees too much now to give him the kind of credit that he deserves, because I know I've heard whispers that Judge is having a great year, but like, I haven't heard much outside of that. Like, it's not being broadcasted much. And honestly, I think that's because the NBA playoffs have actually been really exciting. And let's not forget the NHL playoffs have been equally as good too. Yeah. I need to get a little bit more locked into that, but the MLB needs to give Aaron Judge's credit, because I agree, if he's not one or two, he's probably three. And that's elite company. Like, even if it is Mike Trout, Pujols, or A-Rod, whoever you want to take above him, that we're talking about greats. And Aaron Judge is already going to be, you know, we're going to be talking about when he hits 700 home runs, like, in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, what, he hit 64, yeah, 63 last year. He hit 50 as a rookie or something. I mean, or maybe even 60. He may have hit 60 as a rookie. Like, I would actually can say yes to this question with the asterisk that
you're more than a historian.
I know he signed to a huge deal. Not that I think they're going to trade him, but I'd put an asterisk that he stays with the Yankees because they play at a little league ball field and it helps him. And it helps him.
Once he comes to Philly.
Philly is also a hitter friendly park. That's why I'm kind of scared that Kyle Schwarber could go there, but let's re-sign Kyle Schwarber. I say yes to this question, actually.
Okay. Yeah, I like it.
My second question to you. The Rockies are really a really bad baseball team, Ethan. The Rockies are on pace to not only be the worst team in MLB history, they're actually on pace to, like, the worst team in baseball history is here. Here's 50 pounds of crap, 50 feet of crap, and then there's the Rockies this year.
Oh, no.
They are really, really bad. They only have 7 wins. Ethan, they've gone.
What about hitter-friendly parks? They have the least hitter-friendly park. So when you're bad, you're bad, huh?
They already have 3 8-game losing streaks this year. Oh, wait, and I think they're 7-33. I think they're not 43, 7-33. They already have 3 8-game losing streaks, and they've only won back-to-back games once this year. Do you think that they – I don't know, you know, you don't know the stats and stuff maybe of everyday Rockies stuff, but is this long term? Like, do these statistics match up to be where by the end of the year it's like, oh yeah, they are the worst, or it's like, baseball, you know, you're a month off, and then maybe next month they'll be a little bit better. Like, I don't know. What do you think?
7 wins in mid May is really bad, and. Like, they got 21-0 over the weekend. And that was the day before they said that they weren't going to fire their manager. And then they got 21-0, and then they fired him. And this guy's been with the team, you told me last night, for 10 years, right? So, like,
more while.
Yeah, well, however long it was. But if he had built some sort of, you know, good animosity up to, like, not get fired last season. So, man, and then you told me also that they had already brought up most of their prospects already. This is bad for the Rockies. This is really, really, really bad. If you're emptied the prospect clip already and you're still this bad, like, it's not like good. A 5-year rebuild still. Like, you will have to be this bad for a while to keep getting high draft picks and then develop them and then hope that they're good. And, like, man, MLB is much more of a crapshoot developmental-wise than any other sport. Oh, yeah. So, like, this is bad.
You want to hear the craziest thing? I'm not sure if you knew this, actually, but I think it was 2 years ago. The one thing that's against the Rockies side as well.
White Sox or the A's?
What?
What was it, the White Sox or the A's 2 years ago?
No. What I was going to say is 2 years ago, the MLB implemented a draft lottery.
Okay.
So now they actually have a lottery. So
they did.
Yeah, so it used to be like the NFL. The worst team got the first pick. So the Rockies are not even guaranteed to be the first pick anymore.
We need to get rid of these lotteries. I hate the lottery. It's so
stupid. I know. I kind of.
It's cool for us this year. Like, it's fun for the NBA, but, like,
teams
that are bad need to be
rewarded a little.
Yes. Yeah, especially when they're this bad. Yeah. And then, Davis, let's get to the last one.
Yeah, I know. You know, I want to give your 30-second take on this. You don't have to go too far. Maybe the biggest news of the day, in all sports. The MLB reinstated Shoeless Joe Jackson and Pete Rose from their lifetime ban.
They served their lifetime ban. It's been a lifetime.
They really did.
Yeah, Shoeless Joe Jackson probably should have reinstated a long time ago. Same with arguably Pete Rose. You can look up what Pete Rose has done, and it's much more than baseball, honestly. It is what it is. But, you know, I have always argued that Hall of Fame should put in the best players. So this is a step towards Barry Bonds getting in, and I think that's what everyone should be truly excited about.
That is a great point, and completely agree.
But Barry Bonds shouldn't be dead when he's put in. I think that would be absolutely terrible.
Also agree. Yeah. If you don't know anything about Shoeless Joe Jackson, just look up some of his stats from that 1919 Black Sox team. The whole reason he's not in the Hall of Fame is because they cheated. His team cheated.
Allegedly.
And blew the World Series. They're actually found innocent in court, which is crazy.
Yes.
There were nine people on the White Sox that were banned. Shoeless Joe Jackson was like Shoeless Joe Jackson was like the best hitter in that series for either team. And like, he still got accused, and like, it's still unclear like what happened, but like every other guy, it seemed obvious that they were kind of tanking. Shoeless Joe Jackson hit like 450 in that series.
He was
like,
insane. I read a book about it when I was a kid, and it didn't make any sense to me as a kid. And it still doesn't make any sense to me now.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Glad to see change from these, you know, these dinos who run the MLB Hall of Fame ballots and voting, who have been doing it for a long time. Same people who didn't vote in Derek Jeter unanimously. Like, it doesn't make sense. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that makes no sense. But happy for Pete Rose's family and Shoeless Joe Jackson's family. That's cool.
Yep. Last thing I wanted to end with, Ethan. We had a big golf tournament this weekend.
I'd say so.
Second major of the year. Came up quick. I feel like the Masters was only like 2 weeks ago. But
yeah, seriously.
This is the PGA Championship. Going to be at Quail Hollow this year. We have a favorite that is not Scottie Scheffler this year. We have a new favorite in Rory McIlroy. This course, Ethan, if Rory McIlroy were to build a course to fit his play style exactly.
It would be Quail Hollow.
Perfectly. It would be Quail Hollow.
He loves Quail Hollow.
I'd be very curious to see what he ends up doing in this tournament because, you know,
he's won four times over the last 14 years.
I know. I don't know how he is. How does he stand, like, after winning the Masters? Is he kind of like a, I already did it. Like, you know, I won the Masters. Or is he like, when does that hangover end? Like, does it end? I think it's ended.
Yeah. I think it's ended. Yeah, like I think he was somewhat in contention for the Truist last week. Like, not terribly, but I think he was like 10 under and the winner was like 17 or 18. I forget what the finals were, but he was in the mix. I think he's getting his game up to this because, I mean, obviously we're not mind readers. We have no idea. Maybe Rory is fat and had it being satisfied now that he has his green jacket and his Grand Slam. But if I'm Rory, I'm only a five-time major champion. That ties me with a man on the screen, actually, Brooks Koepka. And if I love Brooks Koepka, but if I'm Rory McIlroy, I wouldn't take that. I would take that as an insult. I would take that as disrespect. I'm one of the best golfers ever. I'm a Grand Slam champion. I want more majors. Yeah. I'm talking like Rory McIlroy. Come on. I think he gets at least two more majors. Is it this weekend? Possibly. It seems like this course lines up very well for him. I mean, even though he just won the Masters, he was on the precipice of the U.S. Open last year. This guy clearly wants to win, regardless of whether it was for the Grand Slam. So I really think that he's going to come out swinging. But these three guys on screen, like Brooks Koepka, has not done anything in forever. I would not hate his chances because he has to answer soon. On the contrary, I was talking crap about Rory being disrespected. If I'm him, I would see that I'm a five-time champion, and so is Rory, and he's a Grand Slam. I can be a Grand Slam player too. So I think he already has a couple PGAs, actually. But
he does. Let's not forget that Brooks Koepka was runner-up in two majors last year.
He's a great player. Mm-hmm. He's a great player. And as for Bryson, Bryson's going to be good. He is in the prime of his career. He almost won the Masters. He can't really string Sundays together, I will say, but – this guy, when he's dialed, is absolutely dialed.
And then he honestly sounds crazy. He might be the best golfer on the planet right now. And does sound crazy.
It's probably a three-way tie between him, Rory, and Bryson.
Agreed. Him, Rory, and Scotty. Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yep. Yeah. 100%. And then the guy in the middle, Ludwig, plus 2,500. This guy's going to be a major champion. It's just a matter of time. So I love all three of these, honestly, Davis. But I'd still take Rory over the field. I really would. I think Rory is going to be absolutely dialed. And I would love to see him get one here. And then also, I just want to throw it out there. Mr. Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, a lot of people
PGA championship away from a Grand Slam. I just want to throw it out there. He has not played good golf in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He really hasn't been able to string 4 days together since his last, what was it, the British Open, his last major?
Yeah, like 2017, 2018 or whatever.
He just hasn't been able to string days together. So I would love to see Jordan Spieth do that, but he needs to play better. So just to throw that out there on people's radars, don't hate Jordan.
Yep, I agree. But yeah, these would be my three picks this week. The guys I wouldn't mind, like my B tier of picks would be Justin Thomas and Shane Lowry. This is definitely a bomber's course. That's why Rory plays so well here. And all three of these guys hit the ball a really long way.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it definitely gets off to a very nice start when you can hit the ball a long way on this course.
Yeah.
But going to be excited for some golf this weekend.
Yes. I'm very much looking forward to this stretch. And then the NBA playoffs, I'm really excited for the Thunder Nuggets game tonight. It's fun. It's like, for a while, I couldn't find anything to watch on TV. It was like, it's so boring. Like, I don't feel like playing video games anymore. But the NBA and the NHL playoffs have been there for me. They've been great. One of the sports has been great every night. You're either getting a good NHL game or a good NBA game. On Friday, there was no good NBA games, but you got an overtime Leafs-Panthers game. That game was sick.
Yep.
You think that, did the Leafs get it done? What do you think?
Nope. Took Florida. I think Florida, the Leafs curse hits once again. And I think Florida takes it from them. And Toronto fans will just live in misery just yet again.
I just want to put you on the record. You don't think a Canadian team is going to win a cup this year?
No, I do not. I think Edmonton has a good chance.
Yeah, I agree. I like Edmonton.
But my answer would be, I hope not.
Okay. All right. I wouldn't hate it, but, you know, 51st state stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Before we go, see my cat sitting over there?
She's freaking out. I've seen that.
She wants to go outside, so we're gonna wrap this up.
Yeah, according to Domino, it's time to go. So I appreciate Domino for wrapping us up, giving us the old rolly fingers. We appreciate it, Domino. All right, everybody. We appreciate your time spending here. Like, subscribe, share, send it to your friends, all that stuff. We'll be back in the next month. Who knows? Deuces.
See ya.